Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've also got this man over here.
Adam Knox.
And also, bringing up the rear.
It's Ben Vanell. I got an A in video games.
Did you really?
Yes.
You can study. You can study video games now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I think we've talked about that on a previous episode. But I was being facetious.
I'm kind of glad that I don't remember that being talked about when I was at high school, because yeah. I feel like it's something I would have done just to have an easy, like, oh, I'm studying video games.
Yeah,
it's something that
As in, like, making them or just
yeah.
like critiquing.
Yeah. But I would have come out of school hot, thinking like, oh, I'm going to be able to fucking, I'm going to want to make these one day.
Mm. Yeah, I guess. But of course, you have to go to school for that.
I know.
You don't just wander into like a barn one day and pick it up. Amish style. That's how the Amish learn, right?
Amish, yeah. That's how they learn to make video games.
I think so, yeah.
I'm looking forward to Amish coming out on the Switch in a couple of months.
What if Amish real life? So this is it. This is a huge episode for us. Something that's been fated. That's our destiny from episode one of this program, I believe. Zelda Breath of the Wild came out last week, as did the Nintendo Switch. Mm. Now, last time we were talking, I was going all in. I was getting a Switch and picking up Zelda on day one. Adam, you had bought a Wii U off eBay.
Yep.
And you were going to go and get the Wii U version of Zelda. You were on the fence. You were saying you probably weren't even going to bother playing it at all.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened on Friday.
I tripped over on the way to work. Is that the story you wanted me to tell?
Yeah.
I stubbed my toe on the curb.
Tell them what you tripped over on.
Oh, a brand new Nintendo Switch.
That's very, very good.
I saw all the reviews for Zelda and I was like, well, if people are calling this the greatest game of all time and giving it 10s out of 10s, I have to play it. I want to know what the big deal is.
So the embargo lifts on the reviews of the game, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there's just an absolute flood of game journos jizzing their little panties over this game.
Yeah,
Edge magazine, which
very poor review format in my opinion.
Yeah,
really hard to tell.
Edging magazine.
Did I come? Edge magazine, which I got to say I prefer over its cousin, Bono Magazine.
Ooh. Hello. Oh. I like Adam the drummer. I'm pretty sure his name is Adam.
Yep.
What's the other one? Jason?
Larry Mullins Jr.
Right, Larry Mullins Jr.
Famitsu Magazine, the Japanese video mm-hmm. games magazine that's been around forever. They gave it a perfect review. But you, the turnaround from you being... You didn't seem like you could have cared less last week.
Yeah.
To going from that to dropping a cool 500 and something.
Yeah.
We were just talking during the day and you were like, yeah, just went into Big W on my lunch break and got it. Went in.
Yep.
I love it.
I don't know. I was going to get it at some point and I figure, like, I just did not expect that this game was going to get such good reviews. I thought it would be, you know, like everyone would be like, oh, it's fine. It's a new Zelda. It's, you know, I like Zelda.
Yeah, we played it. I mean, you know, we all came away from the demo that we played at the hands-on event in January. We were all a little worried. I personally was like, I don't see it. I'm sure there's... of course there's more here, but if you were basing it entirely on the little bit that we played, it did not grab me.
Yeah.
No, and the demo and all the reviews being good, I took no stock in because they were very similar for Skyward Sword as well, which I hated.
I mean,
I don't tend to notice that stuff as much as...
I mean, we can talk about this a bit more later, but this what's happened with this kind of does speak to the whole culture of reviewing and how ultimately flawed it is because, Skyward Sword got... Yeah. That was the last game that Famitsu gave a 10 to, I believe.
Right.
I don't know. Well, and they have four people give out of 10 each, and so it's out of 40 always, which is weird.
Yeah.
So you say, like, it got 38.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, you and I and Ben, now we're in the club of people that are I'm excited that you joined me in this, because yeah, there's something just going in day one on a brand new console.
Yep.
It's exciting. It yeah, might be a disaster, who knows, but we are fucking strapped in.
Yeah, we're riding the wave.
Yeah.
And we may wipe out, but yeah. So I genuinely got caught up in the hype and I was like, fuck it. Okay, I'm going to get it.
Mm.
And I like it.
There are people without food in this world.
Not
How
me.
How very dare you walk me, into a shop, $500,000 in your hand, and say, give me slightly under 110,000 switches. How many would that buy you?
Nailed it. It really is one of the greatest examples of Western privilege. I'm not even 100% on board of the idea of this thing. I still went and got it day one.
Yeah.
So I went to a JB Hi-Fi that I will say, I went in, I pre-ordered, I went in when they opened. I kind of wanted to have this magical experience where there was just this, you know, big presentation there. Like, I wanted a bit of a setup.
Yeah, yeah.
I just walked in, there were just a bunch of boxes on the ground. It was like someone had turned up an hour before and gone, by the way, you have to sell these today.
In what shape? Like in a cube shape or in
just literally
piled up?
Just scattered across the ground.
Wow, so not even like some sort of box display.
No.
Huh.
Just shit everywhere. People were kind of coming in and going, I guess I just take this case of Zelda just off the ground and go up to the counter with it.
Was there like an old prospector-looking dude with like an empty gin bottle there? Like, oh no, I've done it again.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this was to prepare you for the kind of the foraging that you have to do in the game.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I sort of did have to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, in the only game on the console.
Yes. Yeah. So I then spent, because I was going to Adelaide that day, I then spent the rest of the day on my own real life quest trying to find a fucking carry case for the thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is what happened. Every store that I spoke to, they were like, well, we don't have any. We got about four in. We didn't think we were going to sell that many because no one pre-ordered them. And I was like, well, no one pre-ordered them because you thought, they're just going to be plenty. Like, why would you think that was going to be?
Yeah.
It's a portable console. Why wouldn't you get one for one?
Yeah, yeah. No one's going like, oh, I have to pre-order the separate charging cable. Like,
yeah.
No, I'll
just
buy it.
It'll just be there. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. So
maybe I'll get a cheeseburger afterwards. I better call ahead.
Yeah. Well, I did do that.
So I ended up going to the Northcote Plaza and getting a third-party carry case, which you guys have both seen.
Yep.
It's a piece of shit.
It's no good.
I want to give an anti-ad. I think whatever the third-party carry case that EB Games sell, don't get it. It sucks. It doesn't sit flush in there. It feels like it was designed by people who did not have access to any dimensions or any idea of
not
what
even
the Switch
the first.
Was. Huh?
You need three of them at least to make a Switch.
No, no,
never mind.
They're flat. They're flat Stanley designed this thing.
It's a piece of paper. It's terrible. It doesn't protect it at all.
Yeah, it really sucks. It's like they've looked at a photo of it and there's not even anything for scale in the photo and they've just taken a flying stab at the size of
Does
it.
Does it feel like it might come out and break in there?
As soon as I can get a proper, better one, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I did think about it for a second. I'm like, I could chance it just having it in the bag, and I just went, not doing it. Yep. So
without the third-party stuff, then how do you find the hardware itself?
Okay,
what do you reckon?
I love this console. Mm-hmm. I'm into it. I'm on board.
You have your one in your bag.
Yeah.
While you're talking, can I have a little? I haven't tried one without the big fucking like
the grip.
The don't steal it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do still have those conditions on mine. I'd love you to not steal it.
Well, you haven't put a huge piece of metal on here, so it's fair game as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, the fact that I got it home, I played Zelda for like a little bit, I got up to a bit, and then it was time to go to the airport, and then got on the plane and picked up right from where I was. I mean, I was basically living the ad on day one of it.
Did you look over to a cute girl at the airport and be like, hey, you want to play?
Left your dog in the park.
Well, this is a thing that came up that when you have it in flight mode, you can't take the joystick. You know, it shows the guy with it propped up on his tray table.
With the kickstand, yeah.
And he's got the two Joy-Con just separately, which you can't do in flight mode. Apparently, when it's in flight.
Oh, because the signal is turned off.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But the thing is, I don't quite even get why it has a flight mode.
Yeah.
Like, it's not emitting any signal, so I don't see why it's like, you didn't think this through, did you, Adam?
No. So immediately I'm holding it with one hand.
You're trying to open the case that it's in, get it out of the case, and now turn it on one-handed for the whole time we've been talking.
Normally I'm pretty good at doing shit with one hand, but this is very wide.
Is it off? Do you want me to turn it on for you?
No, it's off, okay. But I that's not the bit I'm struggling. I'm just feeling the weight of it. It feels good.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to put the microphone down. Ben, read my thoughts and explain for me.
I'm a big dumb idiot.
You walked right into that one. That was great.
Not what I was thinking. So.
Egg on my face.
I don't get why it has a flight mode, because you can just...
can't put a SIM card in or anything. There's nothing coming out.
I just gathered it was to save battery if you were on a plane and you really... I mean, I guess having the Bluetooth signal and the Wi-Fi signal off, that saves some battery. But
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got some time in with it a little bit in Adelaide while I was there. And it's not until I sort of got back that I really have kind of kicked into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great little piece of hardware. The screen looks great.
Yes.
It feels sturdy in the hand. Here's the big surprise for me. So all I had read of reviews was that the Joy-Con in the grip is no good. And I kind of figured I'm going to definitely have to go and get a pro controller as soon as I can, because this is going to suck. I'm surprised by how much I actually like the Joy-Con in the grip.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I think I must have the exact same size hands as whoever designed it.
Yeah.
But I'm into it. Like I honestly,
imagine if you met whoever designed this and it's like your long lost twin.
Oh, you do that improv game where you put your hands up and mirror each other and your hands are exactly the same size.
And I'm not trying to be, I know this just sounds like I'm being like the ultimate Nintendo apologist. Fanboy. I was like, I'm definitely going to have to get a pro controller. I just won't get one day one because I'm taking it straight to Adelaide anyway, so there's no point.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know what it is about my hand specifically. I've heard from every other source that it's no good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm
your
into
hands.
It. Yeah. Yeah,
every other source tells me my hands are just no
nothing
good.
Nothing but bad reviews. The Amazon page for my hands is awful, just a bloodbath.
My hands,
but yeah, I like the Joy-Con in the grip. I don't have that much more to say about the hardware because it's nothing without stuff to do on it.
I can say, coming from having played quite a lot of the Wii U in the last few days, it feels a lot more solid and high quality.
In retrospect, it makes the gamepad for the Wii U feel like a fucking Fisher-Price toy.
Yeah.
I was watching it, just looking at it there, it's like, that looks just the shiny, and it's so big, and it's all plastic and very hollow.
You're yesterday's news, kid.
But just the turnaround in design of like ergonomics and stuff that they've done with this, I think is really cool. And it's kind of been a weird thing reading the reviews of the hardware. Like websites have felt like they have to like score it out of 10.
That's fucking weird. I've seen that as well.
I just watched the IGN
review. The Switch
review,
is a 6.8.
Yeah.
In what fucking way, you ridiculous arbitrary
man? You can't say...
Well, I know what problems they might have, and obviously you would rate it less than perfect if there are problems with it.
Well, so this is the thing that I've seen in the last few days, is that a lot of people are having, according to the... it does make the little click when you slide it in. That's cool.
Yeah, now put the Switch back on the Joy-Con and then listen to that noise.
There's quite a few defective ones out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a bit of that, and they did have an issue with the connectivity of the Joy-Con.
Yep.
But that stuff is... that's inherent in anything that you launch, though, isn't it? Like,
It's happened before, definitely. Like, the 360 was fucked. Like, one out of three of them died or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just give my impression before move into the issues.
Can I say, watching you play around with that was extremely distracting to me. I don't know how you felt about it, Ben. I couldn't concentrate.
No, I just looked away.
Maybe it was just the fact that it was mine. I was like, he's going to fucking don't.
I think that's
I kept
that
throwing it up in the air and catching it like a baby.
So I kind of was digging the Switch when we went to the hands-on thing. I thought as a piece of hardware, I was like, oh, it's cool. It's better than I expected.
Yep.
And yeah, having bought one and been playing it for the past few days, it reminds me of like buying a MacBook or an iPhone, where it's like very like well-designed, clean, packaging's great. You take it out, it's exactly, it's very sleek and all that stuff. And then playing it again... It's like an iPhone where it's like, it kind of works. They kind of made a lot of intelligent decisions like throughout the manufacturing process, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, yeah, it makes sense in my hands. It, the screen's like as good as it needs to be.
Yeah,
it's light. It's Whoa. Yeah. But
the thing I think that's most interesting about it is that playing it, I did worry about the whole concept of it, where it was like, yeah, but if it's this big, amazing, beautiful game like Zelda,
yeah,
I'm not going to want it. It's going to be it. It felt to me like it was going to be a compromise to go handheld with it.
Yeah,
because I was basing that on the resolution of the Wii U gamepad.
Yep.
And as for me, in so far in playing Zelda, in no way does it feel like that. It
yeah.
doesn't feel like you're just, because the screen does for me. The screen does such a good job of what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Just the weight and the width of that thing though does seem enough that I wouldn't want to hold it for too long at a time.
Well, so the thing is, like, I really like it. I like everything about it pretty much except the Joy-Cons. I think they're too small and the Joy-Con grip is way too small for my hands. Mm-hmm. It just feels awkward and I
yeah.
need to get a Pro Controller, which is like, it's $90 on top of the console,
yep.
which is a big hit. So I don't like the Joy-Cons or the Joy-Con grip. And I have not been playing it in handheld mode at all.
Right.
I basically tried it in handheld mode, didn't like it, and put it back in the dock. And I've been playing Zelda pretty much exclusively in console mode.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do really like it in console
but
mode.
But I mean, yeah, for me, it's like I played it on the plane. I think I played it like once in bed here. But for the most part, you're always going to default to TV because
yeah.
it's, you know, it's better and whatever. But it is, just to go back to the thing of the console itself being reviewed, it's just like, it, you know, it's this weird thing with reviews where you get given something for free and you have to formulate some views on it in a week. And so you see all these reviews where they're like, the kickstand's no good.
Yeah.
Tell me anyone who's spending $460 and lining up on day one gives a flying fuck what the quality of the kickstand's like.
I mean,
but
yeah.
if you're reviewing it, you have to pick apart everything.
But why aren't there two? That was
yeah.
the weird thing. Like, why isn't there one on either side?
Well, so, like, there was that...
It already... Like, I tried to turn it on in the kickstand
yeah.
mode before and it bent
yeah.
around a little.
Totally. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, people are saying, oh, the kickstand, like, it only goes to one angle. Like, you can't... But, you know, the iPad came out without... You know, that's the thing that you're going to be watching...
Yeah, but it's
yeah.
just
propped
like...
up and you just get a case for it. There'll be workarounds for that. Stuff will come out that's...
No, know. But I think that is still a valid criticism to say, like, this thing could have been better rather than saying, well, it's... you just stack up a pile of books and lean it against that.
Like,
yeah.
I know, but my point is, like, of course it could be better, but... Like, it's just, you have to focus on that if you're reviewing it. And I doubt anyone who's invested that kind of money, anyone who's paid for it on day one,
yeah,
that's just not an issue.
Or maybe
you're just
like,
overlooking it because you're like, I paid the money for this. I want it. I'm into
yeah.
it.
At least it isn't for you, I guess you're saying.
I think
that stuff would bother me a little bit. Like, I can tell, like...
Sure, but
okay,
you're not going to buy one. You're not going to go pay for one.
But
that's my point.
I tried to use it and it wouldn't work. Like, I tried to lean it up at a certain angle. I was, like, working at the same time, and then I was like, oh, I'll put this over here and use the Joy-Cons and, like, watch... And, like, it wasn't good enough. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't. Like, it was the wrong angle, and it did fall over half the time. And that is the main problem I have with it, is, like, I pop it out and I put it down somewhere, and then it just, like... falls over. You nudge it a tiny bit, it falls
yeah.
over.
You do live yeah. in an earthquake zone, though. We shouldn't
yeah, and I
here.
Jump around all the time.
Yeah, you're always riding that pogo stick.
In that banana peel factory that you live
yeah.
in. Yeah.
But it's like obviously it's a very minor thing to criticize, but I also think that it could be better, so why...
Oh, definitely it could be better, but, it's not like... There'll be workarounds for that. I mean,
yeah.
you know, the criticism of the battery... is big and valid, and that to me is like, well, there is no... I mean, there's, aside from getting portable chargers,
yeah.
I mean, there's kind of a workaround for that, but it's the same thing, and to me the battery thing is more glaring. But again, what do you do about
especially
it?
Especially for them to chuck the USB... And I get why they did it, because it has to charge from the bottom in the dock.
Yeah.
But for the USB thing to be on the bottom so you can't charge it if it is in that tabletop mode, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Again,
that's really weird.
I just don't care. Like, I just think...
That's fine if you don't care, but, like, I
yeah.
can see situations where I would want to do that.
Yeah.
Where, like, the weight of that was enough that if I was in bed, I would probably rather, like, rest that on my belly.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah. Well,
and then you got a cable poking into your belly button.
Look up with 16 chins underneath me and play it that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think it seems like it would be possible to do that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which
well,
it isn't with an Xbox as well. Like, let's be clear.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So...
I guess the point I'm getting at more is for them to go, oh, 6.8, the dock, the charging cable is on the wrong end and there's a kickstand. It's like, you can't give a console a score on day one.
Mm.
I mean, a console's nothing without a library of games on it. So you can't
accurately... So then you can very much give the Nintendo Switch a score then.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's get into Zelda because I think this game is amazing.
Yeah,
this game
so
is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
And so to be going, like, to still be criticizing it and saying it's got a bad launch lineup. It's
well, that's on the Wii U. I've been playing it on the Wii U all week.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's been fucking great, and I haven't had to spend $500 and whatever dollars on it.
Yeah, yeah, but I get to take this with me wherever I want. That's a big yeah. selling point to me. With this game,
for sure.
There's so
I'm not
much
saying
to do
you shouldn't
it.
Like the Switch if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I am not in any way attacking your yeah. deep, sick love for Nintendo that you've managed to...
Well, that feels a bit negative.
No, sick in like the skating term. Like, whoa, oh, sick.
I like it a lot.
But Zelda, like the game itself, is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
my, like, it's just right away, I'll say the two things I don't like about it. The voice acting's terrible and the frame rate's pretty bad sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just want to get them out of the way yeah. so that we can spend an hour talking about how fucking great this game is.
Yeah, and I don't love it, but I yeah. like it a lot. So I want to get my criticisms out of the way first as all well, right. because well, I do want to talk about all the positives.
Because I don't know how long into it you are as well, and I definitely grew. Anyway, yeah, what?
I hate the control scheme. If I could remap yeah. the buttons, I would absolutely do that, and I'd love it a lot more.
Yeah, that definitely. Like, even just A, B, X, and Y being in the strange places they are on a Nintendo
yep.
thing
yep.
still fucks with my head after, like, a lot of hours with it now.
Yep, yep.
Which is like, it is kind of crazy that you can't change control scheme. I think this is the case for Horizon as well. I spent about an hour playing that last yeah. week as well. That you just can't change. Like, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to remap any controls for any game at
it's
any
It's crazy,
time.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I was talking about this with my housemate. Like, and I said this to Ben the other night.
Mm.
I think it would be interesting if a console had, like, a built-in thing or a patch or whatever mm. where just whatever kind of games you play most, it just knows what you play. And then when you put a new game in, it just maps the control scheme from whatever you play the
you
most.
You can do that with the Xbox.
Really?
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah.
That's the, like, one good thing it does.
Yeah, it has, like, profiles for oh. racing games or shooting games or whatever.
That's great.
And then you can go in on, like, a system level and say, okay, make B A for this. The yeah, game can't do it.
You can do that with the PlayStation as well. You can right. do a system-wide remapping, yeah.
Right.
Which is kind of annoying still because then the image of the button in the game is wrong,
yep.
so you kind
yeah.
of can't use that
yeah.
effectively. But I do agree that the controls are a little funky,
yeah,
and it takes time to get adjusted to them for sure because there's a lot going on with
so
them.
So I was playing the Zelda just before we started recording, and I think I just settled into the controls, like, just today yeah. after 4 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, how many, like, how long do you think you'd have played it for in total? Be exact to the second.
7 hours.
Seven.
I've played a fair bit. Yeah. I've played it a lot, actually. Yeah.
So I've played it for about five times more than that. And I still do definitely find myself hitting attack rather than dodge or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah. 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 I mean, it's weird because I definitely have my problems with some of the controls, but at the same time, then I kind of think, okay, well, what would I change it to? If I put that there, then that's got to be somewhere else, and I kind of like that being where it is.
Yeah.
So I kind of just come back to, like, okay, well, I guess that just has to be...
Yeah.
I wish jump was in a different place.
I think just yeah. literally if X was on the left and Y was on the top,
yep.
B was on the right and A was on the bottom, like, has kind of become more of the standard now.
Yeah.
That would make
Oh, you mean
me...
the buttons are just called different things?
Yeah, right, just yeah, A okay. being on the right, B being on the bottom. It's just that Nintendo thing that's been around since, like, the Super Nintendo, so I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is literally the it's when it says press X to jump, my brain has already programmed itself to think X is on the left.
Yeah,
okay.
And
yeah.
to always avoid X.
Yeah, so the controls I really don't like, and it makes me think or feel as if the gameplay itself is not as good as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, the controls feel good once you're doing them, once you've got your head around them, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
everything moves well, and, like, just little things of, like, landing straight on a cliff face if you're flying into it or whatever and climbing up it, like,
yeah.
all that stuff happens really smoothly.
Yeah.
Everything feels right once you've gotten your head around the controls. But I do agree yeah. that they're a little weird to get your head around at first.
Yeah, and the other thing is the frame rate stuff, which I've been experiencing. I didn't experience it much at first, and I was like, how is this a complaint? And the more I explore and the more cool stuff I see, like sunsets with, you know, snow, and, like, it's like, oh, this looks great. And then it just, like, judders for, like, a few seconds. Like, it's getting worse the more I play.
Right.
I actually haven't had... I haven't had too many issues with it. I had my first kind of big one the other night where, yeah, I came up to a bit. I was like, okay. And there were, yeah, tall grass. This is the common thing you hear. Tall grass,
yep.
Bunch of guys around, and then it, and that's when it it becomes noticeable.
Well, and like, yeah. The weirdest thing, I don't know if you've seen this happen, like when you, if you hit someone, it will pause like a little bit every time in like a stylish way to emphasize your hits.
Yep.
But sometimes it will pause and hang, and I've had it happen for like 3 or 4 seconds where clearly it's gone like, all right, fuck everybody, code red, and right. like all the little, you know, me's inside of the Wii U are running around or whatever trying to fix it up.
Like in Inside Out?
Yeah. Doom, 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 doom. And they're like, and they're trying to, like, it takes a long time to catch up. And in the towns and whatever, it really does.
I feel like that's probably more Wii U than.
No, oh, well, I've experienced
Switch.
It a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I've also
in the
experienced
main world, like, it isn't that bad. Like, yeah. Most of, like, probably 90% of the time, even as much as that, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say 90%, definitely. But it's like, well, this doesn't happen on any other game on any other console that I've ever played.
Not these days.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing is, oh, well, tying into the controls, the Joy-Con grip and the Joy-Cons themselves are not fun to play with a game like this, where you're playing it for a long period of time and you kind of want it to be very precise and fluid, like
too cramped or whatever.
The tiny joysticks are shitty,
yeah, right.
And the buttons I don't like, and it's just like, it just highlights a lot of the flaws with
them. Yeah, that's so weird. I don't have any of that with it.
But like, your hands up next to each other, like, you know, man
I've got
evolving
tiny hands.
From gorilla.
Like, so my hands,
your
are,
hands are basically exactly the same size.
Yeah, your palm's bigger.
I do have big palms.
I mean, like, I get it. Like, it's just whatever feels...
Yeah.
You hairy can't control. As well. What's with all the hair on your palm? What's that about?
Well, my girlfriend's gone away for a while, so... she dead. No, she's not
You can't
dead.
Control what feels comfortable to you.
No, so, yeah, for sure.
So it's not, but it's weird how...
That's why I never became a rock star. Holding the guitar has always felt really, really weird to me.
Is yeah.
Yeah. I used to play guitar, and then I had to stop because my fingers would always get little cramps.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And they'd have to be put in little mini splints.
Oh, no.
And have little mini thermometers hanging out of there.
Amazing.
So I really want to play it using a pro controller.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, yeah. I know it is a bummer to have to go and buy that extra thing, but also that's not really a fair criticism of the game to say I don't like the controller that
no,
I'm
No, I guess it's more. It's more about the. It's more about how the console is holding the game back, which also aligns up with
the
frame
rate
thing.
It's a criticism about your own body in a way. You're body shaming yourself, saying that your hands are too large.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I was actually putting it onto the controller, but well, now I'm going to internalize it. No, but I think, yeah, I think that if the and I do like the console, but if it was a little bit more powerful, we wouldn't have any frame rate issues. And if the controller was a bit better, I wouldn't be annoyed by it.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of a moot point, isn't it? Because it's like going... Well, sure, if it did, it, you know...
Well, no, because it could have been better.
If it was better, it'd be better. I'm sure it's what they could get it up to in the time frame they had and what was available to them.
And yeah. Okay, and
not make the battery last for 15 minutes.
This ties into, I guess, the only thing that I... like, my big, you know, umbrella criticism of the Switch is that I don't want it to be a handheld at all. I want it to be a home console.
Right, okay.
So those compromises are things that I wish that they just hadn't had to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's really the only things I don't like about Zelda is the controls and the frame rate stuff.
Cool.
I think I like everything else about it.
Well, now that we've gotten... because I'll tell you where I am. I underestimated when I said 5 times as well. Like, I've played a fucking lot of this game, probably too much.
Yeah, right.
A detrimental amount to the rest of my life.
Well, okay, for the sake of not spoiling, let's try and be as general as
we can.
I
will, absolutely. I'm just saying, like, to
save
give...
for the very...
100%. I'm not going to say anything that I wouldn't have wanted to know before I'd played it.
Yep.
Save for maybe the very first bit, because I feel like if you were going to go in... Should we just explain how it gets you into the game?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, yeah, I just wanted to give context of, like, I've finished it now. I've
Oh, really?
Gone through it.
You've completed the whole game.
Then gone back in to do all the other stuff.
Oh, wow.
Fuck.
So, like, and, like, just overall first, this is one of my favorite games I've ever played.
Wow.
It's
okay.
Really
huge.
Fucking good.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So you start out, you wake up. And
grab a brush and put a little makeup.
Which I think is really interesting, like, because I love the game that starts with a, you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This feels like a bit of a deliberate throwback to Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, which is where you wake up.
Stranded on the island.
You wake up on a beach and you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of a cool touch,
yeah.
Deliberate or otherwise. You are kind of, you're stuck on this big plateau that you can't get down because it's too steep.
Yeah.
So you find this old man who tells you to go clear all these shrines and then he'll give you a paraglider to get down.
Yeah. Like it's pretty much a tutorial area.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as constricted and...
And even just from the
hand-holding?
Forsters, yeah. Some of the other ones have been.
Except, right.
And then, like, that's cool, but then it very much is a lot more focused and constricted than what the game opens up to be after that.
Even within that first area, and as kind of a sign of things to come, those shrines that he makes you do, you can do them in any order you want.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's kind of an early signaling. Now, this is the thing that's most fascinated me about the game. On day one playing it, and kind of checking in with my friends who are playing it and seeing what they were, you know, where they were at and everything. One of the shrines is on the top of a snow-covered mountain.
Yeah.
Which you start to walk into and your temperature drops and then you just lose hearts immediately. You die within like a minute because it's too cold. Now, how did you combat that?
This is the first, like, genuinely, like, 40 minutes of the game, maybe, that we're talking about here as well. So if you don't want to be spoiled for that, then A, grow up, B, stop listening.
Grow up!
So I went and found Big Boy, the old mate who you meet.
Yeah.
And had a cheeky look in his diary. Did you do this?
Tell me what you did and then I'll tell you what I did.
I had a cheeky look in his diary. He'd written down that he had a recipe that he'd forgotten. Yep. Did you do this way as well?
Well, I did this. I did look
in that. And then so it says, oh, fuck, I forgot what ingredient I used. But in the previous page, he'd written that it was a fish. Or he said seafood.
Yeah.
And it's because I've been on a seafood diet for a little while.
And spicy peppers or something? Is that...
Do you want to know about my seafood diet?
No, I'd rather you don't finish that thought.
Fair enough. I see shit and I eat my own shit. So you make this dish for him and then he gives you like a really warm jumper.
Right.
And then I just use that to get around.
Okay.
See, I had that experience except I didn't end up making the thing and getting it. So I went away and I was like, oh, I'll find a fish and I'll find a thing. And then I never went back to him and now I want to do that. But what I did when I climbed up that cold mountain is I just kept eating apples until I got there and then...
Yeah, you could just like brute force it and keep like eating heart recovery things.
Yeah.
Or did you do like spicy peppers?
So I found...
You keep telling me how your favorite band's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You always say that.
Yeah, I went down to California. I found a camp. I found a bunch of little goblins in a camp and they had a fire there. So I got a torch and set it on fire and just carried that and that kept me warm.
That is cool. Much smarter than
and
what I
that
did.
Just even do it. I didn't even see.
Yeah, I
never
spent
even,
ages helping this old man.
I never even found the old man. And that early on talking to people and going, it seems like there's four or five different ways you could do this bit. It doesn't guide you.
Well, and then each of those ways isn't necessarily like, here's the three split branches that we came up with. You can pick which of the three you want to do.
Yeah.
It's like genuinely made this really well... created like system of different things that you can be creative with.
Well, this is what we were saying last night about the game as a whole. Like it's so big and it's so huge and I keep forgetting that I'm in a game. Like there's honestly, you know, you come around a corner and you see
Tron,
this. You come around this corner and there'll be this like, you know, a plateau or a ridge or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it honestly does feel like this big organic world, and I keep having to remind myself, someone fucking designed all this.
It's crazy, and it's so dense, but then also it has open spaces where it needs them, but there's stuff everywhere, and it's all interesting stuff, and it's given me much more of an urge, because like, it's an open world game, basically, the same as any Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed or whatever, so it's not like it's doing a new thing in a way.
I don't know, did you have a further point to that? Because this is, okay, keep going.
I love what it's doing with it.
Okay.
And I think it's completely taking all of those tropes, getting rid of any of the ones that don't work, tightening up all the ones that do, and it's the first one of those type of games that's actually made me want to go and explore for the sake of it.
Right.
I have never, like, even in the Skyrim-y type games, because you have just like a pointer saying, there's somebody over here who might want to talk to you, eh? Go over and say hello to old elf boy over here. Maybe he'll have another place for you to go.
Yeah.
They just...
the writing in that game sounds terrible.
It's no good. And they you're like a little pinball, you know? You're getting flung between place to place to place with all these markers. But this just lets you loose on it and goes like, yeah, just walk and you'll find something cool.
So all of the positive reviews and all the people, all the friends I've talked to you about this game emphasize this aspect. The open world thing, the being able to do whatever you want, just run into this weird little tableau and you're like, oh, what are these guys doing here? And you kind of interrupt someone else's story, basically. But
well,
and I like that. I like that about it.
Yeah.
But it is, to me, and like I don't, this isn't a criticism, this is just a thought I keep having, is like, that is the same as Skyrim. It's the same as Red Dead Redemption even. It's the same as...
Yeah, but it's way different to the... It's coming at it from a completely different point of view and attitude in a weird way, where it's coming at it from this genuinely fun, adventurous, joyful place in this... But all of those games, looking at them now, like, to me, seem a lot more cynical in the sense that they will just give you a bunch of little pins in a map and say, go to these places.
Yeah.
It may as well be a straight line.
But isn't that exactly what this is doing
as well? No, because you find those pins. You look for them. It puts them there and doesn't tell you about them. You'll hear a rumor about one of them and it won't tell you exactly where it is. And you go find it yourself, you know? It's a slight difference, but it makes a huge change.
But I think that's the same. If you play Skyrim for a long time, that's what's happening. You're walking into a town and you go and talk to someone at the bar and they go, oh, I lost
but
my
then, like,
sword.
I'm literally,
you know,
saying that the difference is boop, a little thing pops up on your screen.
And says,
and
go here.
And you go and focus on that and you end up spending half your time looking at the map and all that sort of shit.
That's happening in this game as well.
The little golden little bits can show up, but yeah, you can turn them off and walk off anywhere, and it's got more interesting stuff than any of those games as well.
I think so, but I just don't think it's different. Like
there's something about the tone
surface
of
is
it
different.
Well, can I just say, for me, having not played Skyrim, but I think, you know, it's interesting because we were playing Horizon Zero Dawn last week. We talked about it last week, and you know, very similar, big open world. You know, it's weirdly similar in the way that your main character has a little interesting piece of technology that only they have, which is
a weird
similarity as well. But I think what's so interesting to me about this is that with Zelda, and again, I know I'm just going to get heat on the socials for just being a Nintendo sycophant, but to me it's so interesting in the way that, like, Nintendo, when they do something like this, which is still using elements from a lot of different things, it's still just with their polish and their kind of like presentation.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like its own unique whole thing.
Totally.
You go back to Horizon Zero Dawn now, and it just, to me now, I still really like it, but it's so clear. It's like, oh, that's from that, and that's from that, and that's from that, and that's from
completely
that. Like,
it's a greater than the sum of its parts type situation where... The in retrospect, after playing this, like, it's such a it is like a difficult thing to quantify what the difference is.
Yeah,
but there is a feeling of it. And
well, just quickly for me, looking at screens and videos, Skyrim, Witcher,
it feels very similar to The Witcher 3.
Even Horizon a little bit. You look at the art styles of all those games, and honestly, like, they could be interchangeable. They all look very similar. All the character designs are just like going for kind of like realistic human looking faces.
Yeah.
And then this, by having a more cartoony approach, which is A, Nintendo, and B, I guess, hardware limitation. But
yeah.
It just makes it fit. There's no mistaking this for anything else. Like,
well,
it
and
looks
there is
completely like its
well,
own
it,
thing.
The it, distance it, that you can see and the how solid and put together the world feels, like, it really has a sense of place to it.
Yeah.
Like when
yeah.
you're standing at one corner and you look over to the other, you can see landmarks from over there.
I do like that about it.
It transitions really well between these really, really varied and different areas. Like, you haven't gotten that far into it, like, in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
You go to a fuckload of different, very different looking, feeling places with different stuff, like different focuses in those areas and different things to do. And it really pushes you to be creative with what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's designed to make you push what you want to do. Whereas things like Skyrim and just open world in general up until now, or like, except for this game, I guess, even.
Yeah.
It does sort of tell you where to go a little bit more, and it does tell you, hey, there might be something over here, wink, wink, you know, like, it's a lot, like even The Witcher, which I loved. Oh, it's like I said Witcher twice. Even The Witcher, which I loved, does that, and it hurts the game, where there's 500 question marks on the thing, and you're like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
And you just end up running from thing to thing in, like, fairly similar looking and feeling places, at least, that are a lot less, Like, this has a lot less sort of padding to it. All of this open world feels justified in a way. Like, you're not going over some pointless mountain for the sake of it, and like you might be in a Skyrim type game.
And
a lot
more to me, it's just, it's so exciting where you look at a thing and, you know, if you're up against a big wall, like a big cliff, and you can see, like, you know that what you've got to go to is on the other side of it. Just, like, I'm so trained to the thing of, like, a wall in a game means that's you tapped out here. You can't, you know, you can't go past this point. And to have, and to all of a sudden realize, oh, I can just have a crack at going over it. Like,
right,
the fact that go anywhere nature of it is.
But that's what Skyrim is as well.
Sure.
But what, and so the difference, I guess, is I'm not entirely convinced it's like revolutionized open world gaming. I just think it's really, a really, really polished, really good version.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much a revolution in the way of the sort of games that you think of as being like, here's a new thing, like Mario 64 or whatever.
Yeah.
It isn't like that at all.
For them it is, but, and for the series it is, but in the grand scheme. But also, can you really revolutionize open world? Because it's already at the point where it's like, you can go anywhere and do anything.
The revolutionary part of it is that this is the first one of those games that has actually made me buy into that concept of go anywhere, do anything.
Yeah.
To the degree that they've always sort of wanted you to. Like, I think Morrowind did a little bit, like, 15 years ago. Like, I remember walking off in that. It's basically been since then that there's been something where I've actually sincerely wanted to just spend time walking around.
Well, I think Red Dead Redemption is that.
Yeah, I think it's probably the closest one in the middle.
Yeah, I think it's very similar in that, like, the environment, the visuals, it was new. It wasn't, like, a guy running around a city. It was the Wild West. It was like, oh. And it was designed to be visually beautiful. Yeah,
that would probably be the other one in between those two as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because you're coming at this as well, Ben, from having not played Zelda games in the past. So this is your entrance into the series. And so it's a bit of a different a different flavor if you've played most of the mainline entries or grown up with it, where
definitely
just this way of presenting it is, because I've always liked Zelda and I've always picked them up, but I've always gotten just, you know, a little bit in and just stuck on a dungeon, and like I've always preferred the Mario franchise like way, way more than Zelda. But this just is everything to me at the moment. Yeah. I just love it.
It's crazy how well made every aspect of this is, other than like the three that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
But it's like
and quickly on the frame rate thing, what I find weird is for me the frame rate, it always drops. The drops that I've seen so far have exclusively been in very tall grass.
Right.
Which I kind of go, get rid of the tall grass.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's just in towns in the Wii U one, basically.
I've had it in towns, and I've had it, like I said before, I think, like, with specific, like, intense lighting conditions, so sunsets things like that.
That's never done anything for me.
Light reflecting off water has slowed it down. Mm. Yeah. I'm glad we talked about that, because I accept that perspective. Like, it's just the best version for you guys and for a lot of people of this kind of game.
Oh, and just there's all these little things where that very sneakily kind of start coming in from the franchise over the past. Like, there's a thing from, I can't remember when they started doing this, maybe A Link to the Past, where if you're in a village and there's a chicken, if you hit it with your sword, it goes apeshit, and then about 20 of them will come and absolutely fuck you up. And I saw
get my cousins.
I saw a chicken the other day. I was like, I wonder if this happens. This is in real life, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got my sword that I carry around because I'm real cool. And ladies love it.
Yes.
I did it. And it was like so joyous to have that happen again. Even though in this world it doesn't make a super great deal of sense, but it was just like, fuck
100%. There's an element of this where I've been loving how it does manage to tread a line well between being referential to the past things and being, you know, like leaning on nostalgia and also throwing that stuff away completely when it wants to.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, like, because all the Zelda games kind of all happen on a different timeline.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting luxury they've got where they can sort of do what they want but reference the past in ways that doesn't feel kind of clunky and forced.
This is the Casino Royale.
Like going, hey, that guy you liked from before. Yeah, totally.
With that bit where Link gets his nuts slapped with the big rope knot. But
so I love the actually, I should say the art style is great.
It's fucking incredible.
It's The same art style is in a game called Ni No Kuni on PlayStation 3.
Sure, a little different.
It's slightly different. Yeah. I checked. But Ghibli-ish. And it's pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just quickly,
That had the really thick outlines on it, right? Like, that had quite...
It had animated cutscenes that were just animated.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking
But I'm pretty sure the normal gameplay graphics were... Yeah, the kind of the same
style. Because
it's
not anime-ish, this one, I wouldn't say. It's a lot more watercolour sort of thing like the Wind Waker was.
So yeah. I watched a video today that was kind of tracking the history of
the Fast
of the
and
Wild.
The Furious ref.
Yeah, sidebar. From like its announcement through to, and just reminded me like just how long this game has been.
Yeah,
you know,
like 5 years
for.
Or something.
So long.
It's been a huge amount of time.
But there was a Nintendo Direct where they announced that it was taking longer than they thought, and so they were going to delay it. This is before they'd even showed anything of it off. They hadn't even shown that first image, or that first trailer. So to kind of tide people over, they said, we're bringing out a HD remake of Wind Waker.
Right. Yeah.
And they sort of talked in that about how doing that and how upgrading it from the GameCube to the Wii U, it wasn't just a slight spit and polish. It made the game look totally different and how that was making them start to think about how they were going to approach Breath of the Wild in a different way. And when you look at that upgrade and what they did to the Wind Waker on Wii U, and then you look at this art style, it's really clear that that's a bridge between the two of them.
Sure.
Because it does have that almost, that pastel-y.
It throws like a little more shadowing into
cell shadedy almost, but not to that, not quite to that same extent.
Well, it's, like it's because obviously this is running on like comparatively limited hardware now.
Mm.
And what they managed to do with it in terms of like focusing on the really important and striking things, like if you're flying at a great height, you can look down and see your shadow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see like a hawk's shadow that's flying miles away.
Yeah.
And it'll, like we said before, draw in everything in the world, excluding, you know, enemies and whatever. But like you can see all of the whole world all of the time.
Yeah.
And
basically,
it's really effective.
Yeah. To give a very, very brief overview of what you're doing in this, it's open world, but then there are towers that you can often see from miles
they
away.
They glow bright orange.
They glow bright orange, and you climb them and you activate a thing when you get up there, and it unlocks more. It gives you more detail on your map.
It's kind of like in Assassin's Creed, the viewpoint system.
But just like the key difference there as well, and it's a slight thing, but it doesn't fill in those little dots. You get up there and you pull out a pair of binoculars, basically.
Yeah.
And you look around and you stamp the map where you want. And it gives you this feeling of ownership over what you're doing that's really effective.
Yeah. And hidden all over the world are these shrines.
Yeah.
And again, you can't just look for them.
Hidden all over the world.
You can't just look at them on a map. That's kind of the big incentive to climb these towers. And you can see where they are around
you.
But so they basically all consist of, and there's heaps of them, all consist of pretty tiny little challenges, at the end of which you get an orb. Every time you get four orbs, you can either get a new heart for your health meter or you can upgrade your stamina bar.
Yeah, the orbs on this guy. Get a little
check out the orbs on him. And I've never loved the dungeons in Zelda games. I've always way preferred, you know, being in the outdoors, talking to the villagers and stuff. Dungeons are a thing that I've kind of endured, but I love doing these shrines.
It's a really good way of doing it. It's so great the way
it incentivizes you to find these, because you just are not going to be able to get very far without climbing those towers, finding those shrines.
And if this one puzzle isn't working for you right now, fuck off and leave. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And each shrine kind of teaches you, well, it doesn't always, but for me, it has taught you a new thing about the gameplay, about the combat, about using runes and physics and
stuff. Some of them get a lot more complex than others. Like, some of them go for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And then there are several proper dungeons kind of as well that are shorter than they would have been in other ones.
Yeah.
But are still, I think, really well made.
And again, for them to toss that formula out.
The presentation of those dungeons as well is really fucking cool on a couple of them especially.
The music in this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like
subtle
little soundtrack that just comes in from time to time.
Yeah.
But for them to do away with that format of the dungeons is huge. Like it's massive.
It's great. Somebody came in and just like swept off a desk and then fuck Miyamoto on it.
Friend of the show / wedding DJ Andrew Levins has been playing this at the expense of his children's well-being. He was telling me, and I think he just achieved this, he made a point of going around to all the towers and unlocking the whole map, and he's now got like 8 hearts and I think 2 stamina wheels.
Yeah.
He hasn't done any of the story yet. Like he's basically
I kind of did the same thing. Yeah. Like I went around and just like the world is fucking incredible. I don't think either of you ever played World of Warcraft back in the day.
No.
It has a feeling a bit like that, but a lot better, where all these different parts of this huge world feel very distinct from each other.
Yes.
Yeah,
which is super well done in this.
I just cannot get over that demo that we played. I mean, you know,
it's such a bad slice of it.
It was such a bad way of showing off the game. All we like, even though it's exact, it was the exact same like story and map and everything as what you. It just is the first
that first hour or whatever is a lot slower than because the thing that pulls you in about that game is you being put in the driver's seat or whatever.
Sure, but, and once I settled into it because I think it was timed the demo. It was timed up to 15 minutes
or something like that.
I got to that very first shrine and had just gone in and just learnt the thing. And then I got kicked off and I was like, right. I just walked around. I didn't see anything. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And when I actually played it through properly, it was at the point that I finished that last shrine and he then goes, okay, go around. I was like, oh, I get this. This is just an intro bit. This is sort of teaching me this.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that in the demo. I thought this world is empty.
Yeah.
The thing that I thought before and other friend of the show and car boot t-shirt salesman Angus Truscott something like this where it's like what Ocarina of Time felt like back in the day modernized, and like this feels
he
like
he said this is what I thought
feel.
I was playing when I was playing Ocarina of Time, and which is such a great way of
it completely
it
is
up.
That like it is this huge thing with all this like genuine mysterious elements to it, which like you will get more and more of as you go through, Ben. Like I'd be interested to know what you think of it after playing it for like 20 more hours or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's stuff like even now after like fucking a long time playing it, there's stuff that I'm coming like just finding that I had no idea was in it and it's really, really cool.
It has been so long since I've had a game like this where I'm thinking about it constantly. By the way, worst time for something like this to come out. We're 3 weeks away from the comedy festival.
Yeah.
None of us have time to be doing
100%.
This.
100%. That's, I think, why I like devoured it so much so I could just put it out of my brain.
Yeah. I haven't played anything like this in so long where
You've played it for more than 3 hours?
Yeah, I sat up the other night I sat up until 2 a.m. playing it.
Yeah,
and then it was the first thing I did when I woke up. Like I just haven't had that in so long. And the fact of like I'll play it in 3 short bursts where I'm kind of attempting to do the same thing or sort of going around the same area, and then I either complete the thing I was trying to do or I just go, this is too hard for me to do now. I'm going to go do something else. And then all of a sudden, in half an hour, I'm in a completely different thing is going on. Yeah. I have a completely different objective. I'm all the way
and
over the other side.
It's just as interesting. It's all really well made. You can fucking walk in a straight line to nowhere and find really cool stuff that's engaging and maybe just little bits.
Yeah.
Like there are these things scattered across the world that are just very, very small. Quick, brief little like, there you go, and you're done.
Mm.
But they're all really engaging.
Mm. Well, Truscott, I was talking to Levins about this, and me and Truscott was way further on in the story than me and Levins were.
Yeah.
And he'd only just gotten his first horse, like something that and Levins had both done real early on.
Barely used horses.
Because he followed the path to the first village that you go to, and you don't see
I guess
any.
You don't see us.
We'd gone off road, and you find the little goblin things riding them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just little things like that.
Oh, it's crazy. And like, the idea of a Zelda game having different people with different stories about how they played it.
Exactly.
It's fucking ludicrous.
I can't wait for I'm even excited to finish it and then give it a year and go back to it because I know I'll play it in a completely different way.
I would probably play through it now and then wait 5 years and play the HD version or whatever when it runs well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is going to – this is big-time apologist talk. I just haven't found it to be – I know it's 30
it really
frames
hasn't,
per second.
Yeah.
I don't, once you're in it and I just find everything else so captivating, there's a couple of times I've noticed slowdown, but I don't care.
I agree. Like, that hasn't affected me a huge amount. The thing that actually – and I do want to talk about this a little bit. The thing that's bothered me a fair bit is the voice acting is fucking garbage. It is some of the worst I've ever heard in any medium, like some of the worst acting I've ever come across.
I have only had 2 sections where I've had voice acting and I haven't found it to be
There's like 20 of them or something throughout the game. And like it's not a huge amount. It's just because all the writing and all the characters and stuff when it's just the text are really fun and really like silly and and like funny and charming
cartoonish,
and all that stuff.
Basically.
But cartoonish in a good way.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they do this terrible 80s cartoon. Like, do you remember that 80s Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
It fucking sucked. And it reminds me of that sort of thing.
See, I...
The fucking woman who plays Zelda is doing the worst fake British accent that I've ever heard. Link, you need to go down.
Yeah, I don't know. We talked about this last week.
Baby, I hear
week.
The blues have got...
Like, it's just... It really was the only part of the game that genuinely, when those cutscenes...
We talked about this last week a little bit with Horizon. I've never cared about that stuff. I just buy into it. I just let the corniness kind of wash over me and go, you're playing a fantasy video game. Like, I've never had an issue with it. 100%,
but it's bad to the point where rather than being able to buy into it, I'm imagining that fucking woman standing in that... booth doing this awful fake British accent, and then some director going like, perfect, you nailed it.
Yeah. I don't agree. I think that the best thing about this game is like the presentation aspect is very cohesive and very polished and good across the board. So I like the menu. I like the font they chose. I like the music, the sound
effects.
The little
sound when you pick stuff up. All of these little flourishes are just...
All of that stuff is amazing.
And cooking is amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But I like the voice acting. I think it's part of this charm, this weird kind of childlike charm.
It doesn't bother me at all.
It's so completely outside of anything that I... hear when I'm just reading it, you know what I mean? Like, it's so far
removed. And I will say, I know it's, I don't know how much of it is, you know, technological limitation versus just Nintendo being stuck in their ways. Like, I did notice going from Horizon to which is, you know, all voice acting to this, which is mostly text.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much more power in it. I just find it so much more compelling.
In the text or in the voice acting?
In the text.
Mm. I agree.
Just
and like,
reading stuff in your own head
to not
have someone's
voice.
And they
do those fun little, like, noises.
Yeah, yeah. I love all that stuff. I think
those are really good. It just specifically when Zelda in particular, but all of the characters talk.
Yeah. Impa, is that one of the ones that talks?
She does a little bit the old, but I don't want to get too much into, like, I guess... Like, the story is very thin.
Yeah.
But just those brief sections really did great on me. And I, like, maybe that's my problem.
They did great. It sounds, awesome.
G-R-A-T-E poop emoji.
So you're willing to admit that it might be your problem?
I was saying
it's just a matter of taste.
You guys. No, I'm definitely right about it. I was just saying it to seem like I'm not an egomaniac.
I want to talk about this because what's so interesting to me about this game is that I think it is like such a perfect thing to show off the Switch and what it can do, because this game is like, you don't want to put it down, you don't want to stop playing it.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect thing for, hey, you can take this anywhere with you. You got to go away for a week.
And this concept of, like, go on your own adventure while you're going on a Zelda adventure.
Which is so weird because it only ended up being a launch title for the Switch by accident.
Yeah,
sort of, yeah.
Well,
I
mean, like, it just got delayed so much on the Wii U. If it had panned out that way.
I mean, who knows, because they took all the gamepad stuff out of the Wii U as well so that it wouldn't have, like, a benefit over the Switch. Mm. At some point, they very consciously made the decision of the Switch won't have a launch title.
But that was also because it was taking longer than...
I bet this is 6 months later than it would have been or whatever, but I don't really care either way.
I don't care. I just think that's interesting where it's like this, it's kind of by accident that became a launch title for this.
They're incredibly lucky that people are viewing it as a big launch title for the Switch as well, because it is obviously, but like the Wii U version is really good. Mm. Like that's what I've been playing.
It doesn't sound like, it sounds like it handles a little, the performance is like a little under par, but like, and you can't take it with
kind
you.
Kind of
is
not
the big thing.
Even, like the resolution is slightly lower, I think, but I do not notice things like
that. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I just to go back to people criticizing the software lineup of the launch of the Switch, it's like it's launching with one of the biggest games ever. And I know you can just get it on Wii U, but a lot of people don't have a Wii U. And the other thing is, it's just so interesting to me how the past, like, dictates, like, what the narrative for this current thing is. If the Wii U had been a smash hit, there wouldn't be people naysaying the Switch to the degree that they are. And I think that, what console does launch with a bunch of great stuff? Like, what did the PS4 launch with?
By
nothing.
All accounts, this has had a good launch. Like, I think it's been selling really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, it seems like a fair few people are getting broken ones, maybe. And, like, I'm definitely not upset about my decision to wait for a long time.
Yeah, I've experienced the left Joy-Con desynchronizing thing. Yeah. It's happened a fair bit. Like, I'll be riding on a horse and the horse will just ride into a wall. And
that's
I'll be
the
like,
left
well,
for you, though, huh? Just doing their own thing.
It's like driving up a wall.
But the potential for this, the console, like, the potential for it is, like, I want them to just just fucking quit stalling and just give us anything about the virtual console. That's mm-hmm. your ace up your sleeve at yeah. this point.
Yep.
I'm really curious to see what else they have because I love this thing. Like, I love being able to take it around with me. Like, I'm a bit the opposite of you, I guess, where you were saying you just want it to be a console. It's like, well, I have a great, powerful home console. I've got a PS4.
Yeah.
I want fun Nintendo games that I can play on the go.
Yeah. And I've never liked handheld gaming or mobile gaming. Like, when we had a few weeks where we reviewed some mobile games and, like, I just played them at home. Like, I don't play games, when I'm on the move.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, like, I like the console. I like the interface. Like, it's all so polished. And I do want to spend more time playing games on the Switch. I just, there's only one game. There really is only one game.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's been out for a week and it's only one game, but it's a one game that's huge and immersive and...
It's definitely really good. I would still honestly say, like, if I was giving some sort of purchasing recommendation to somebody, I think it would be better at this point if you are not sure on the Switch. There's enough good stuff on the Wii U.
Oh, big time! If you're not a Nintendo fanatic and you haven't owned a Wii U, then fuck yeah, there's so much shit on it. Yeah. Like, go in now, like the best time. Like,
yeah,
and I probably will be getting a Switch as well, though, at some point. Like, I think Mario will pull me in.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, seeing what they've done with the world of Zelda and how they've overhauled it.
If they can fuck me up with Mario.
That the other day popped into my head. I was like, fuck, I wonder what they're doing for Mario. Like, if that's what their thing with this is just scrapping the... And I always think anytime I'm playing a new iteration of something or something new and big has come out of a franchise that has taken it to the next level, it always is in the back of my mind going, fuck, what are they going to do with this neck?
Yeah.
What's the fucking next Zelda going to be? Where do they go from here?
I really hope they do a Majora's Mask type thing with, like, do this exact same game in a new place.
Well, I'm really excited for the DLC now. Like,
I bought that straight away. Yeah. Like, you get fucking three chests that I haven't even bothered to go and look at.
The amiibo, like, all unlock different stuff.
Right, I'm never going to buy any of them.
Man,
I might.
It's making me want to go in because you tap it on, you get little rewards each day, but you also get different, like, armor and you can get the horse.
That's the problem is that it sounds cool and I know that I either have to own zero or all of them. It's got to be zero.
I'd resist it. I just had a couple of the ones that I like, not even for practical purposes, just I like the little figurines.
Yeah.
And it's making me go, oh, fuck, I reckon I'm going to go in.
Yeah. All I see with stuff like that is the empty spaces where the ones I don't own would be. You know what I mean? And that's a gross part of myself.
So I actually have a bombshell about this game I've been sitting on.
I meant to
tease at the start.
My twin brother in Japan with the same sized hands made it. King of the Hill episode.
Are we done with thoughts?
I think it's a fucking amazing game and everybody should play it.
Yeah, like if I don't like quantifying things, but like just to clarify, like I might have sounded a bit negative. It's for me, it's like a 9 out of 10. Like I really, really, really like it.
Yeah,
and I kind of assume it'll become a 10 out of 10 the more I play it.
It definitely is something where it does not. It's whatever the opposite of diminishing returns is.
Yeah, yeah, exponential growth.
Diminishing returns.
I'm looking forward to getting a lot of tweets from people, by the way, saying, classic apologist, and he's a big Nintendo fanboy. As if just really liking one thing is some kind of display of weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone with a girlfriend is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
You only like one person? What are you, dumb?
Okay, so here we go. The storyline of this game is that Link, who is a hero...
Oh, and we'll say now, spoilers... Maybe, or
I guess,
if you don't want to know anything,
this is revealed
skip ahead.
In the very beginning of the game. The storyline is you are a Link who's a hero. You've been put into a slumber for 100 years, and then you are awoken to
save
because
the world.
You are the only one who can defeat this evil.
What do you reckon it'd be like if it was bloody Trump? Are you going in that direction?
Sound familiar? Link is Austin Powers.
Oh. That's why it's the best.
Link, you are the only one that can vanquish this ancient evil. Fascinating, princess. What say we go out the back and shag?
Let's stay quiet while he does the rest of the ones he thought of during the week.
I thought of so many. The bit where I got my horse stuck in a canyon, I had to reverse and go forward 100 times. I'm looking forward to fighting the boss, Ganon and Mini Ganon. That's going to be cool. I think that's going to be really cool.
Yep.
I came up to a village of little goblins just before, and what did I have? I had a soldier's claymore, my rusty broadsword, and my Swedish made penis enlarger pump.
Rupee, baby, yeah!
Oh, very good.
I really thought you guys would be more turned on by this rather than just being like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Here we go with everything being about Austin Powers again. I just
wanted to get something funny in here because we've been very dry and analytical for the whole episode.
I know. It's like, it's weird how like really enjoying a game makes me very boring about it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good. And I thought you were going to say Encino Man. I was trying to figure out which bad Austin comedy Bells. Movie you were going to go for.
Yeah.
I really got it wrong.
It's, anyway, the game's great. There's not much more to say on
awesome.
That. So what do we got coming up? I guess I'm going to still try and do my little harebrained 1-2 switch experiment with my parents.
Yeah.
I'm keen to see what they think of it.
Yeah.
At some point, we're going to be doing another of the bonus episodes, and this one will be about maybe a little topic we've talked about today.
Austin Powers.
we'll go through some set of the Zelda games in one of them. We're not sure when it's going to go up.
Yeah.
Either this week or next week.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah. Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
That's it.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know how you're going with it.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, we got an email from someone or a Facebook message from someone saying that they never been a Nintendo gamer, but just hearing us.
Had been like back in the Super Nintendo days,
right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And just basically us, well, specifically me talking about it, made them go, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going in.
Yep.
Which speaks a lot about the way that you're making your life choices is bizarre, I have to say. But that's very flattering. That's cool. That's cool that someone took something out of this.
Yeah. I'm really keen to hear a broad swathe of different opinions about the console and about the game.
I'm really interested to see what it'll be like in 6 months if any of these like technical issues will actually be a problem.
Well, what you need to do is you need to go to sleep and then we'll awaken you in 6 months' time.
I wonder if they'll...
I would love that. That'd be so good.
It would be very un-Nintendo to do, but also they have been doing more stuff that's not very them. If they'll bring out a patch that lets you remap the buttons, because a lot of people have had that complaint with it.
I mean, they're doing patches with the DLC stuff. We'll see what that is. Yeah. So
I wonder what sort of stuff we'll see. I'm also excited to see what kind of, you know, this reeks of being a game where, again, 6 months, a year's time, someone finds a thing that no one else has found in the game or something.
Yeah,
There'll be some little hut somewhere that has a hidden thing in it or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Send us your thoughts. Send us your personal little takes of things
credit
you've been
card
doing
numbers, whatever you want to. Yeah.
Nudes, send them. What do we got?
We also should say we've been getting a lot of outlandish claims emails. We get like a bunch every day. And I think once the kind of major game releases start to slow down a bit, we'll probably go back into
comedy festival time when we're doing shows and not really playing much. That's when we'll be very thankful to sink our teeth into something.
Yeah.
With some guests as well.
Yes. So maybe like we already have too many to do. So if you don't,
if you think of one, send
them in. I enjoy reading them. Even if we're not, we should say, even if we're not reading them out on the show, we are reading them, and I always enjoy getting them. So
telling everyone, hey everyone, just go dark for a while.
Well, I want to hear your Zelda
opinions.
Can you
just fuck off, please?
At Filthy Caz Pod on Twitter.
Yeah.
filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
That is correct.
Filthy Casuals on Facebook.
Yep, filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com for our GTA special and forthcoming Zelda special.
Yes, and our live episode Saturday the 22nd of April at the European Beer Cafe, 4 p.m. Tickets on sale, tinyurl.com/filthycasuals live.
Yeah, baby.
We got that PayPal too.
Yep. paypal.me/filthypod if you just want to chuck us a few bucks for
some rupees.
For fun times.
Fucking lunatic.
And as we say,
you don't even know us.
And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Zelda, I barely know her.
Oh,
boy.
There we go. Breath of the good joke.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.